In this path of meditation, we have to know the ways to develop the mind. So firstly, we try to physically be still, to sit still in meditation without moving, to just develop and train the body to be still. Because the reason we move is because the mind has moved first. The reason we talk or chatter is because the mind is talking and chattering. The reason we get involved in things is because the mind is involved in things first. The reason we give up things and turn away from things is because the mind has given up and turned away from things. This mind is the forerunner of all things, the Buddha said. So the first thing we learn to do is still the body. But we don't still the body by dulling out, by making the mind dull. We still the body with a sensitivity and awareness, with a clarity, with a joyous interest to know what's happening, what's going on. And then we pick up our meditation subject, for example, the breath. And we gently become aware of the breath in the present moment so that we know, am I breathing in or am I breathing out? That's all we need to know. We know whether this is an in-breath or an out-breath. We know if we're breathing in long or breathing out long. We know if we're breathing in short, whether our breaths are short and tense and tight, or our breathing is relaxed and calm and peaceful. We know if the breath is coarse or the breath is refined. We simply know the nature and the characteristic of each breath as it goes in and out in the present moment. And as we're breathing in and we're able to know the breath going in and out in the present moment, then we start to calm down the mind, to calm down the internal chatter, the commentary that goes on in the mind, the discussion, the fears about the future, the regrets about the past, the stresses and anxieties. We just let those go. We let go of the restlessness, the desire to move on to what's next, and just accept the present moment with clear awareness. We're not trying to get rid of anything and bring things to an end, and we're not trying to hurry things up. We're just trying to be very, very clear and aware of what's happening. And when we turn off this internal dialogue, quieten it down by just knowing the breath with a joyous interest in the breath, then that breath becomes clearer and clearer. And the mind becomes more simple. It is simply content to know one in-breath and one out-breath. Some people, when they do the meditation on the breath, find it very frustrating. Where they feel, I can't watch this breath. So we just imagine we can watch this breath. Just imagine you're watching this one in-breath. Just imagine you're watching this one out-breath, as if you're the Buddha, as if you're Sariputta or Moggallana, as if it's the most simple thing in the world to do, to know whether you're breathing in and to feel that in-breath, or to know whether you're breathing out and feel fully and completely that exhalation. And when we know the in-breath and know the out-breath, in the present moment, without the dialogue, without the comments, without the criticism, without the judgment, but there's an open awareness of mind with clear mindfulness of breath going in and breath going out. Then we calm this breath down. And as we calm the breath down, this breath becomes more and more subtle. We start to see many more aspects of the breath, things that we hadn't seen before. We start to see its beginning, its middle, and its end. We start to know that the breath is arising. The breath is full in the body. And now the breath is ending. Now the breath of the exhalation is beginning. We see its middle and we see its ending. And we see the space in between the breaths. So in knowing the characteristic of breathing in all its subtlety, in all its refinement, in all its clarity. And when we do this, then the nature of breathing becomes more beautiful, more refined, more peaceful, more joyous, more pleasurable, because there is just this simple knowing of the breath. And when this happens, then many wonderful things can happen in the mind. One sees the breath, and when one starts to see the mind, that is, the samadhi nimitta, the bliss of the mind, arises. And one can see a light arise in the mind. This is an indicator that the five hindrances are disappearing. These five hindrances which cause us so much confusion and doubt. The hindrance of sensual desire. The hindrance of ill will and aversion. Ill will and aversion to the present moment. Ill will and aversion to pain. Ill will and aversion to others. Ill will and aversion to ourselves. Ill will and aversion to the situation. The wanting it to be otherwise. The rejection. The desire to destroy and get rid of. These are the qualities of ill will. They're based in fear, they're based in negativity, based in cynicism, based in criticism, based in the fault-finding mind. This is the qualities of ill will. We need to recognize its qualities before we can do anything about it. The hindrance of doubt. What do I do next? How do I still the mind? What should I meditate on? Why am I here? What am I doing? Is this the best place? Is this what I should be doing? Or should I do something else? Should I be a monk or should I disrobe? Should I meditate or should I lay down? It's just unknowing, no clear conviction. The opposite to doubt is confidence and conviction. To have faith and be firmly established in what one is doing. To be unshakable. And doubt is overcome through perseverance. To sustain and persevere. To continue on. To steadily strive on. To stay with what you're doing. And see its results, and then doubt is overcome. Not only doubt, but sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor is sloth in the mind. Sloth is when the physical body is tired and we feel like we want to crumple up and rest, wants to crash out. The mind couldn't be bothered. The mind is not bright, it is not happy, it is not joyous, it is not energized, it is not clear. That mind is under the hindrance of sloth and torpor. It is dull. Sloth and torpor often has a basis in negativity. When we have vipabhava tanha arising in the mind, then if our body is not physically exhausted, then we can often fall into sloth and torpor because we don't want to take an interest we want to get rid of. So often I see monks when they're practicing meditation. Physically they're young, they're healthy, they're fit, they're not worn out, but they just crash out. They go to dullness, their head drops, they're disinterested, they don't want to be there. That sort of sloth is coming from the negative attitude of mind, and it is overcome by putting zest and zeal, faith and energy, inspiration and joy. The sort of practice that Ajahn Brahm calls the zippity-doo-dah practice, where you have appreciative joy for this moment. It's okay, it's wonderful, it's marvelous. Wake up, be alert, watch what's going on. You're okay, try. Strive forth. That sort of mind, that attitude of mind, will brighten the mind up. Often the reason we're falling into sloth and torpor is we don't have that attitude. We have the fault-finding mind, the negative mind. We're not okay, it's hopeless, it's no good. This isn't working, this will never work, let's crash out. That is the hindrance that will lead one to further ignorance, will not lead towards clarity, wisdom and understanding. That is a cause of dukkha. And the hindrance of restlessness and worry, the agitation of the mind, of what if, the anxiety, the speculative mind. It's always a mind which is not aware of the present moment, but jumping to proliferation, to speculation, to creating ideas and concepts which are not based in the present moment. And this restlessness is the mind which is not content with being here right now. If we have this sense of ease and contentment, then the mind goes to peace, which is content with this very present moment, with this one breath. Then there's a sense of acceptance and openness of mind and peace. If we want something else, to be somewhere else, to be experiencing something else, then there will be restlessness and agitation. When these hindrances, the five hindrances, are no longer there, then there is nothing to hinder the mind for it to see itself. There is nothing blocking. The clouds have gone from before the sun and one sees the sun. When these five hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, doubt, and restlessness and worry have gone, then one sees the illumination of the mind, the subtlety of the mind, the energy of the mind, the purity of the mind, the equanimity of the mind, the strength of the mind, the power of the mind, and the beauty of the mind.